If you look there, I'm going to share with you from verses 14 to 23. On two different occasions, King Saul blatantly disobeyed God. Back in chapter 13, he offered the burnt offering to God in Samuel's absence. God forbade it. He knew it, but he did it anyway. In chapter 15, Saul spared Agag, the king of the Amalekites, along with the best animals that the Amalekites had. God forbade it. Saul knew it. Did otherwise. When Samuel confronted him, he blamed his actions on the people that he reigned over. Because of these occasions, God rejected Saul and anointed David, the shepherd boy, the youngest of Jesse's sons, to be king over Israel in time. Now our text today in 1 Samuel 16, verses 14 to 23 is to be found within that period of time, the time period when Samuel, God's judge, his priest, his prophet. In fact, Samuel was Saul's right-hand man, if you will. He was no longer found at King Saul's side. Now, that's most significant. If you look up in verse 13 of 1 Samuel 16, it'll say, last sentence, so Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Samuel was no longer to be found with Saul. As a matter of fact, he would not be in Saul's presence till Saul died. God removed him. Samuel rose up, went to Ramah. This separation of Samuel and Saul was further affirmation that God meant business when he said in chapter 15, verses 26 to 29, and Samuel said to Saul, I'll not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said to Saul, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie, nor repent. For he is not a man that he should repent. So I want you to approach the text today with me in this manner. Saul, meet your neighbor. King Saul, meet your neighbor. For God in this text is bringing his will to pass. He's already separated Samuel from Saul. And the resulting uneasiness, the resulting instability of that action in the life of Saul is quickly brought to our attention in verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Yes, God is, in fact, in this text, bringing his will to pass for his glory and for Israel's good. What we find in this passage before us today is going to serve to enlighten us as to how God begins to make the change that he ordained happen in Israel. How God begins to make that change happen. Also, my prayer is that you're going to find much encouragement for these days in which you and I are living. Because let me say this to you quickly, just simply setting the framework, the foundation for the message. God's at work in this culture. As bad as it is, as bad that as it appears, God's at work. He's moving. And he has a David somewhere in an obscure place, sitting in solitude perhaps, but God's hand is on the kid. God's hand is on the lady. God's raising up servants, even in this culture, to proclaim his name, to proclaim his will, to proclaim his grace and his mercy. What we have in verses 14 to 23 of 1 Samuel 16 is a meeting that God sovereignly has placed, arranged, put together. And I want to share with you, Saul, meet your neighbor, about this meeting. First of all, I want to call your attention in verse 14 to the trouble that preceded the meeting. Let's remember that what we see here in this passage is set in the context of Saul's disobedience. His disobedience to what God had ordained, or the word simply means to set in order. When you read, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him, what we see here, Saul, because of his pride, disobeyed what he knew to be the will of God. Do not be confused as to what you read in verse 14. It's occurring, the Spirit of the Lord departing from him and the evil spirit from the Lord coming upon him is occurring because Saul disobeyed the revealed will and the revealed word of God. Now we see what the consequences of such disobedience is about. What you read in verse 14 concerning the trouble that preceded the meeting is that God's hand has been lifted. Listen to me. When God lifts his hand from Saul's life, the trouble begins. Now the Greek word for trouble there is ba'ath, and it just simply means to terrify or to torment, to overwhelm with paranoia. So in that word troubled, you find that when God lifts his hand from King Saul's life, then a spirit from the Lord comes and oppresses, if you will, the king, Saul. And now he's terrified. He's tormented. He's paranoid. He has no security. He's troubled is what the English word says. You and I need to understand that an action word, which that word is, it's a verb, troubled, calls attention to the work of Satan, to the work of evil. You see there the evil spirit. The Spirit of the Lord departs from Saul and the evil spirit from the Lord troubles him. There's a big difference. The Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit from the Lord are not the same Spirit. Evil is always lurking. Evil is always waiting. This is a profound truth here. God, who's not the author of evil, allows evil. Erwin Lutzer says there's a serpent in paradise, but he's God's serpent. And so you and I need to remember that once the hand of God is upon us and we find ourselves in the will of God, doing the will of God as Saul was, the people said, we want a king just like them. And Saul, the son of Kish, he was stood above them and God said, okay, Samuel, get over your pity party. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. Give them Saul. And God points him out, Samuel anoints him, and now he's king of Israel, and he started out, okay. God's hand was upon him. Now hear me. When that is reality in any Christian's life, any child of faith's life, you and I need to remember that all it takes for the enemy to come against us, Peter wrote about it in 1 Peter, the devil's like a roaring lion. He's always there. Even Cain was told by God when he slew Abel that the opportunity to come to me through grace is always going to be there. But listen, the evil one, he's going to also be there. When God lifts his hand from his child, then in effect what God's doing is he's giving permission or he's giving an allowance for Satan to come against that child. Do you not remember the story of Job? He told them, have you considered my servant Job? Oh yes, I have, but you've got a hedge all around him. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to lift my hand and you can do anything but this. You're not going to take his life. And Job went through it. You listen to me. How many are the Christians today? Not just Christians, but Christian leaders. Not just Christian leaders, but Christian pastors, teachers, well-known Christians, who because of a disobedient lifestyle that simply said to God, I know you said that, but I want that. And God lifts his hand off of them. How many of them today are doing the will of the enemy? No peace. No purpose. Unstable in all their ways. Double-minded. Hear me. Before the meeting ever happened, God was already working on the king of the throne of Israel to show the people, you can't serve two masters. You're either going to love the one and hate the other, or you'll hate the one and love the other, whatever. There's a second thing I want you to see in verses 15 to 17. First of all, you see the trouble that preceded the meeting. But you need to also see the talk that persuaded the meeting. The talk. If you look there in verse 15, and Saul's servants said to each other, no, the Bible says, and Saul's servants said unto him, Saul, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubles thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play well with his hand, and thou shalt be well. It's pretty clear, is it not, that those closest to King Saul knew why he was in such a state of fear, anger, rage, instability, torment. Pay attention to me. God had allowed this due to Saul's rebellion. I've told you that. But let me say this, even though God is allowing it to come upon Saul, this evil spirit of trouble to come upon Saul, those closest to him realized the source of that trouble. They knew that the evil spirit was from the Lord, not of the Lord, but from the Lord. You and I have had similar life experiences when we can see someone that we're close to going through such a period of paranoia, anxiety, fear, trouble. But are we sensitive enough to say, you know what? I believe I know why that's occurring. You're no longer walking as you once walked. You're no longer talking as you once talked. You're no longer living as you once lived. You're no longer serving as you once served. You're no longer giving as you once gave. You're no longer worshiping as you once worshiped. You're no longer attending, participating, laboring in the Lord's work as you used to, and you're troubled about many, many things. Listen to me. The trouble that preceded the meeting was allowed by God, but the talk that persuaded the meeting to happen caused attention to a profound spiritual truth. God sometimes gives us discernment as to why people we're closer to or closest to go through what they go through. Now, before we begin to say to ourselves, well, what's that going to do? What's the talk going to do? Or where'd that evil spirit come from? Know this. Music, in fact, is called to our attention right here. Music is called to our attention here because in our life's experiences, music has been proven to have had an emotional effect on us. Now, I want to call attention to this. When I first read this years ago, I thought, what's that about? I mean, what's music going to do? Let us get somebody, Saul, King, that's really good on this instrument. Let's get somebody to come here before you, and it'll come to pass when that evil spirit from God comes upon you that he'll play with his hand, and you will be well. Waiting rooms of doctor's offices, you'll hear music. Lobbies of hotels, you'll hear music. Some of the largest department stores play music. As a matter of fact, there has been evidence that Macy's and a couple of these larger stores play music, and in the music, subconsciously, beyond your human hearing, there's things in there. You don't want to take that. You don't need to steal that. And they've never denied it. People say it's in the music. You may be hearing the lyrics, you may be listening to the music, but there's an underlying, you know, word spoken. I can't say that so, but when they ask about it, they just simply will deny to speak. Even here at church, music. Special events, music. Music is a part of our makeup. You know why? Because the Bible says we're created in the image of God, and God loves music. And let me just say this to you. Where the talk occurred that persuaded that the meeting happened, be set up, that somebody, you know, needs to go out there and we'll look for somebody to come and play here, Saul, that when the evil spirit of the Lord comes upon you, he'll play or she'll play or whatever, and You'll be okay. Nebuchadnezzar used music. Daniel chapter 3. Now, he didn't do it for glorifying God purposes. He did it for the purpose of glorifying himself. He made this decree. And he sent people out there. If you hear that music, the psaltery, the harp and all that, then the minute you hear that music, you just need to fall down and worship that graven image. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, all the nations and the languages fell down, and they worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. So even in this time period, music would soothe the troubled soul. Brother Paul uses it at the VA. I see him shaking. His little iPod is his greatest friend. He just pulls it out and he says, would you like to listen? And people listen to it. Now, some of them jerked it out just as soon as Jesus came across it. But music. Now, listen to me closely. Saul, you're going to meet your neighbor. But you need to know something. We know why this evil spirit of the Lord has come upon you. You've disobeyed God. And we know what can help you emotionally. We know what can help you psychologically. We know what can have an effect on you even physically. Let's get somebody, guys, in here in this palace that when he has these fits of uncontrolled rage, perhaps, you know, if it had been the American Psychiatric Association, they would have diagnosed him with bipolar or tripolar or quadpolar or something. But these guys say, I can tell you where it's come from. The enemy. God's lifted his hand and the enemy's attacking you in your head, in your thoughts, in your thinking. Then there's a third thing that occurs right there and there. Look in verse 17. You'll see it. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. In other words, I need some relief. I'm with that. I'll go with that. I agree. There's an evil spirit of the Lord that's attacking me. God's hands off me. He's not saying this, but in effect, he is saying it. Yeah, go get me somebody now to bring them in here. I need some peace. Look at the testimony that prioritized the meeting. It's in verse 18, 19. Listen to what he says. Then answered one of the servants. Now all the servants before said, we know what it is that's troubling you. We know what it is that can give you a little soothing relief, a little peace in the midst of your paranoia. We're going to get somebody in here to play some music and just soothe your troubled mind. Then one of those servants said this, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing. And he's a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters, a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Now, he could have just simply said this, behold, I've seen a man whom the Lord is with. But he gives all of these descriptive words, and then he just summarizes by simply saying, and the Lord is with him. Now think about Saul, separated from Samuel, had not seen him in some time. And then one of his servants gives a testimony that prioritizes the meeting. Not only can he play, not only is he a man of war and valiant, brave, not only is he not coming with this prideful, arrogant demeanor, countenance, no, he will come into your presence, Saul, King Saul, in such a manner that he will be submissive to you. He will be obedient to you. He will be a blessing to you. And besides, let me tell you, the reason I can tell you that is that the Lord is with him. You know what I'm reminded of? I'm reminded of that story of the Syrian ruler, Naaman, who had leprosy and couldn't get rid of it. And all of a sudden, this little Hebrew maid says, hey, I would to God, I wish my master could go and see the prophet in Israel. Because he could just speak the word as unto the Lord and from the Lord, and you'll be healed. That's what she said. And she just kept on sweeping, you know. Don't ever underestimate your voice. Every time I read this Bible in this culture in these days, these last few years, all I can think about, and it just comes always to my mind, is just how important a voice is in a culture like this. One of those servants speak up. He speaks up and he says, I know, I've seen such a guy. Well, Saul says, well, send messengers to Jesse. Send messengers to Jesse. He told him who it was. And he said, tell Jesse to send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse did that. He took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid, and he sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. Now hear my heart. Within that group of servants, when this person spoke up, and he was unnamed, mind you, we don't know his name, we don't know who he was, but God sure used him to move this ordained king from the field to the palace. And I do remind you that he had already been ordained by Samuel. After marching all the other sons, Samuel finally says, do you not have another? He said, yeah, it's the youngest, but he's out in the field. He said, go get him. We read the story. I preached the text. But all of a sudden, David is moving from the field to the palace. Now don't miss this. When Jesse heard tell that King Saul wanted his youngest boy to leave the field with the sheep and come to the palace, you know what he did? Look, read it. Jesse in verse 20 took an ass and put bread and wine and a kid, an offering there, and sent him back with his son David. So David goes to the king, pulling all of this stuff there, and you know what Saul knew? The moment he showed up, he knew that the testimony that he had heard that prioritized the meeting, indeed that the Lord was involved in it, that the Lord was in it. That guy said, and the Lord is with him. And when David shows up, there's material, if you will. There's the elements, if you will, of sacrifice and worship unto God. And Saul, even though he was king, realized that there was another king that he'd have to deal with. Samuel, you're gone, but here's this little boy. He's going to fill in the gap. He's going to call your attention to the fact that I'm the one that places kings on thrones. I'm the one that deposes kings that disobey me. I'm God. Worship me. So David shows up. Thank God for the testimony. Amen. Hey, I know a man. He's a cunning player. He's valiant. He's a man of war. He's prudent in matters. He knows how to deal with people. He's not rash. He's not tempestuous. He's wise. He's meek. The Lord's with him. I'm convinced, listen to me closely, that because of all that transpired, David shows up with that worship with him. I'm convinced, folks, listen to me, Satan hates most a vocal Christian. Satan hates it when you, Kelly, at work with troubled kids, open your mouth about unconditional love. He hates it. He hates it when you're at work and everybody around there is talking about this, that, or the other, but nobody is saying something about the love of God, the grace that forgives. He hates you saying, but I know someone who can help you. Teenagers, God hates it. When you try to tell your friends when their family's fighting, arguing, perhaps divorcing, he hates it when you say, can I pray for you? He hates it when you post on Facebook that God's raising up a mighty army at the Lake Lure Classical Academy. And a teacher will get on there and say, let's leave God out of this thread. Because we don't need to be hearing that God's raising up a mighty army here at Lake Lure Classical Academy. My next post would have been, if you'd say that he's not, I know who he is. Satan's raising up a mighty army. Now you listen to me. When God lifts his hand, he doesn't say, sick 'em, Satan. He doesn't have to say that. when God lifts his hand off of my life or off of your life, you better well believe that I'm telling you the truth. Satan will start nipping at your heels, and pretty soon he'll have you in a grip. You won't like to go where he'll lead you. Now you hear me. The trouble that preceded the meeting is that he disobeyed God, and God lifted his hand. He took Samuel away from him, and he separated. And the moment then he just starts troubling, that spirit starts coming. Then there's talk. I know what we do. We need to persuade him to have a meeting. We need to get somebody here to start playing some music to soothe him down. We can't work in this environment. Man, it's crazy here. Let me just interject something, if I might, right quick. Listen to me closely. How would you like to be in the highest places of government today? How would you like to be there serving your nation today as a child of God today? It could be we're focusing on an election when we ought to be praying, oh God, you got somebody close enough to speak up. Give them courage and faith to open their mouth. We don't need to know their name. They don't need to be doing the media tour. Just give them the word that'll travel to the powers that be. Brothers and sisters, you listen to me. There's nothing ever more powerful than a word for the glory of God in a culture that cares nothing about him. Speak up. Now, look in verses 21 to 23 and I'll close. We've looked at the trouble that preceded the meeting and the talk that persuaded it to happen. And the testimony of one who says, I know a man that prioritized the meeting. This thing's got to happen. And then you see David brought before Saul with the wine and the bread and the offering. It's as if he's standing there. Now listen, what does it say? Verse 21. And David came to Saul and stood before him. Let me give you my fourth and final point. I call your attention to the touch that personalized the meeting. And I put that in quotation marks, the touch. And I'm going to expound on that in just a moment, but I want you to see this. And David came to Saul and stood before him. Then you read this quick. Listen. And he loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me. For he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul that David took a harp. And he played with his hand. And Saul was refreshed and was well. And the evil spirit departed from him. Now, I'm going to quickly ask you, pay attention before I say amen. How many of you in here, when you're feeling low, you're feeling attacked, you're feeling like you're going to have a bad day, how many of you in here would quickly raise your hand up? One of the first things you sometimes do, or maybe ought to do, is put in some music. All right. It's a pretty good, quick recipe for attacking early. I'm not going there. I can go there. My mind will be there. I got to play me some Shonda. I got to play me some whatever. You just put it in because you just feel like, you know, okay, now think about this a minute. That's what was occurring in the text. Anytime that the evil spirit of the Lord attacked Saul, what'd he do? Playboy. And the Bible says that when he played, he was refreshed and he was well. And the evil spirit left. Now, there's something going on in this text that you and I need to be aware of. Most of the assaults, the attacks, come in our thinking. And if we can listen and praise, and no matter what's going on, we can just let God use music to ward the enemy's attacks, to kind of protect us. I'm not saying they're all in all. They're not, you know, there's other things you must do. But hey, listen, it might just need a different frame of mind. So, What I see here is the touch that personalized the meeting. In the context of David playing before Saul, the Bible says he came, he stood. That means he played. And when he got through, Saul went from being paranoid, anxious, tormented, miserable, making everybody else miserable. The Bible quickly says, and he loved David. And he loved him greatly. So much so that David became his armor bearer. Saul was so moved and satisfied within that he sent to David's father Jesse this message, let this boy live close by me. Let him come and stay right beside me. I want him to stand before me because he's found favor in my sight. I need this boy to minister unto me. It came to pass when the evil spirit came, David took that harp and he played. Now Saul was refreshed. He was well and the evil spirit departed. Now David was most certainly a very talented musician, no doubt about it. David no doubt was a very talented songwriter, no doubt about it. Read the book of the Psalms. But listen to me, I'm going to close here. It wasn't David's talent that blessed Saul, was it? Because David had a gift. David just did not have a talent that he developed. No, it was more than that. Now that you can develop a talent. There's some people who can sit at this piano and after many years of instruction and playing and experience, they develop a wonderful talent to play the piano. Then you meet someone like David. Though his hand played the instrument. And you meet somebody, though their hands play these keys. It's quite a different thing when you see somebody like Kim Collingsworth sit down and play the piano. You know why? Because the heart is what God gives. Hear me. Saul was not moved solely and simply because of David's talent with the instrument. Saul was moved because David was touched by God. And he brought the Saul, King Saul, and all of his thoughts under submission to the powerful presence of God Almighty. Can I say this to you? Listen to me closely. When David played his musical instrument, when Saul was on a rage, when he was flipping out, and peace came, and well-being came, and refreshment came, and love filled the place, guess who joined in the meeting? God came down. God came down. David is starting to make his way not only into the palace, but David's God is starting to make his way right into the heart of the king. And down the road when we preach it, you're going to see that Saul fought against it so much that he tried to kill David. Why? He had nothing against David. What he had was against David's God. His flesh warred against God's spirit. Heavenly Father, there's another meeting that you're arranging even right now. It's between some child in this place. Perhaps they're children of another father, Satan. They've not yet been born again and they're troubled. And you're calling them to an altar of repentance that says, too long, too much. I've gone too far and I want to come home. I believe you love me. You died for me on Calvary's cross. You were buried and you rose from the dead. Today, this meeting that I'm being called to is a meeting of my heart. And your heart. I see your holiness. I see my wickedness. And I want to confess the fact that I'm a sinner. And I need to be saved. And today, Father, this meeting that you're arranging is to save my soul. Perhaps there's another child here. He's a child of God. She's a child of God. But she's been living in disobedience to what he or she knows to be the revealed will, the revealed word of God. And so you're calling them right now to a meeting. the trouble that preceded the meeting is before them. The talk that persuaded the meeting is going on right now. You must come. The testimony of one who preaches today is that this, let me prioritize the meeting. There's no other help. There's no other way. God is here. He'll be with you. Come to Him. And there's a touch that'll personalize the meeting. Jesus is the Lord. And He'll give you a gift. The gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of service, mercy, if you'll just come. As we stand to our feet in this invitation, this time of response is extended. Can I encourage you, don't miss this meeting.